I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals. The bottoms of your socks are so dirty.
Yeah, these ones have been rocking for multiple days.
Did you walk home barefoot?
No, I think it's just like the floor of
that's disgusting
places. Like just like the floor. Like I've been walking around in these socks.
It looks not, like you stepped in like
I don't want
fresh tar that was put down. And you walked a mile like that.
Walk a mile in my sunbum socks.
Anyways. Those were given to us for free. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Our friends work at the surf shop. And I went to get sunscreen one day. And they're like, here, these are free today.
I wear them all the time. They're like so nice, high. Thick, high socks. And they have like the monkey sunbum logo on them. And they say, trust the bum.
I love sunbum. But everyone remembers, don't buy their chapstick. I love everything. I even love their shampoo. And conditioner, which if ever anyone knows anything about my hair is that I don't just use any shampoo and conditioner because my hair is nasty. And like literally it's so thin and it breaks so easily and it gets damaged so easily, especially with products that I put in it.
Mm-hmm.
To which I'm sorry, but the gym we go to, Equinox, Kiehl's products is the only thing in there. And I shower there every single day. And honestly, at the end of the day, I'm not going to lug. I already lugged so much to and from that place.
You're not going to bring your own shampoo and conditioner.
No, but I think it's doing me dirty. I think that shampoo is doing me, yeah.
Which is upsetting because Kiehl's is like, it's supposed to be a good brand.
I know,
I've enjoyed their skincare before.
I can't use their, I don't use their face wash. I have a little tiny little CeraVe thing that I bring with me. Huh. CeraVe Gentle. Just because it's too abrasive. Like, even the gentle version is too abrasive for my skin.
Sometimes hair products are good though. They have good, like, summery, like, leave-in conditioners and stuff like that. I did fall victim, you know, summers ago to their hair lightener, which is probably not that much better than, like, a Sun-In. But, you know, they have their, like, blonding hair lightener, and it's Sunbum brand, so you think, you know, it's better for your hair. But at the end of the day, that stuff is all bleach, so.
Actually, a lot of my friends
PSA out here, don't use Sun-In and stuff. Just get your hair done, or just sit in the sun and let some natural highlights
come
out.
My hair needs some sun in it, because it's getting brown.
Yeah.
Which, I have pretty blonde, like, the base of my hair is pretty blonde, toned, especially compared to Caroline's.
This is true, yeah, my hair's always been a little bit naturally wild. Darker at the base.
But mine is, like...
Do you think you would put some highlights in it for summer, though? I think,
no, because now there's zero dye in it, everything's grown out, cut out, there's nothing in it, so I just want to, like, experiment how
how the sun's gonna make it.
I get conflicted about your hair because I think that like the health of it is so important because you feel like your hair is kind of thinner, but like a pop of brightness is always just so refreshing.
But don't worry, that'll happen with the sun.
Okay.
Because I haven't dyed it in like 2 years.
Yeah,
that's but awesome. But it was just also really good for your bank account.
It's so expensive to get your hair done.
I went to get a haircut like 2 months ago at this point. And in Boston, a haircut's like $150.
Wow.
And there was no availability. So I was at home like snowboarding with my dad one day. And then I was like, Mom, can you just cut my hair really quickly? Oh my god, she messed it up so bad. I don't even know how bad she messed it up.
I messed up my own hair recently. I have it up. I'm scared to take it out from being up.
No, but she
didn't.
I
cut it myself.
She didn't just cut like two pieces. It was like, I just want a blunt cut. How bad can you mess up a blunt cut?
Just honestly, it's kind of harder because you try to even it out.
It looked like a mullet. It looked so bad. Like, you know the frayed part? You know when the end of a mullet is like frayed? It looked like that. And so her best friend slash our neighbor is a hairdresser. And so
she came over and fixed it.
She sent her a photo, immediately got a call. She picks up the phone.
I'm coming over.
She goes, what the fuck is that? and she didn't know I was home. And then she came over and she cut my hair and it has been going strong ever since. But she doesn't like take new clients. And so I want to be like, hey.
You should get it done when you're home before some summer travel. You should definitely like cut it again to a nice shortcut.
Yeah, because then when it's short, you can really tell. Thanks.
Yeah, I think people really like it. You always get so many compliments on it. The other night, just a few nights ago on Friday night, I was getting ready to go out with my friends and I put my hair up. And I've always had like, you know, kind of long layers, front pieces that are a little shorter. And every once in a while, I like give them a little snip myself when I feel like they're getting too long. I don't know what it was.
I think you cut it on an angle.
I had had like one drink. I can't blame it on that. I think it was just poor judgment. And also, I was doing it with my hair up, so I didn't have like the rest of my head of hair to look at. Like, I had the rest of my hair up, and then I just had like, you know, the two front pieces. I cut them too short, and I cut them chunky, and it was just hard for me to fix. And so I'm like a little bit upset about that, but it'll grow out. It'll all be okay.
It doesn't look bad when it's down.
It doesn't look bad, I think, when I have a little wave in it. If my hair is straight, though, it looks, like, short and blunt and awful. But that's what happens when you take a pair of scissors to your head. It's like a child. I don't know if we ever even finished our introduction, because we jumped right into talking about my dirty sunbum socks.
I was gonna say about Sunbum, I love all of their products. I use their sunscreen, and it obviously works well. It's sunscreen. But the one thing that don't buy from them, chapstick. It gives me a chemical reaction every time, and everyone I've said this to is like, oh my god, me too, me too, me too. The reviews are like, me too. It took me so long to figure out what was happening, and I thought my lips just kept getting sunburnt, and so I'd put more on over the summer, and then it would just get worse, and then finally I figured it out. I think I'm allergic to vitamin E. I know I'm allergic to vitamin E on my, like, face skin, but they also have vitamin E in there, but everyone is like, I got a chemical reaction.
Okay, PSA for the summer. There's so many other, like, chapsticks and lip balms on the market. I love Laneige. I recently have...
Can't use that. Vitamin E.
Okay, my bad.
So, for those of you who are also allergic to literal chapstick, I just get a tube of pure zinc oxide. It's, like, 20%.
Yeah, but it's white, and you put it all over your lips, and it's white.
Don't care!
Yeah, but what about, like, plain Vaseline?
That doesn't have
like
sunblocking.
Oh, for sunscreen.
Aquaphor gives the same thing. The only thing I can use is 100% petroleum jelly. And so the stick of zinc is 20% zinc oxide is the active ingredient. And then the rest is petroleum jelly.
I hope this helps somebody out there.
It will. It will. Because I went years without knowing this. I don't care if I'm walking around looking
literally like a white mouth. Like,
and I'm not getting burnt on my mouth.
This is true. So welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Catherine and Caroline. Today, we just wanted to have a bit of a conversation and talk about how we're all on our own independent journeys. You know, a bit of a self-reflection about where we're at right now, how we're feeling. Because it's hard to not always think that, like, something's going
wrong. Oh my god, I forgot.
Wrong.
Everyone's graduating and we're not.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, it's a lot of, like, change and weird stuff around me that's making me think about it a lot. And a lot of, like, social comparison, a lot of self-comparison about, like, you know, I've found myself having so many thoughts recently of, like, oh, I've lost my grind, I've lost my work ethic, I feel like I've lost my passion. And then also seeing so many of our friends around us literally graduating from college, because we go to Northeastern University in Boston, and it's an interesting school where you can have kind of like a 4-year or a 5-year path. It's pretty flexible.
Or even 4.5.
Yeah, or even 4.5. You know,
we have a lot of friends that graduated in December, and then it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Because
it's an interesting, there's an interesting flexibility to the school, which for the most part has been amazing for us, because we've taken time off to work on the podcast and to travel and to do cool internships and get all this experience. But then when it comes time to graduate, you know, some people have done less experiential stuff and, you know, they're ready to graduate in 4 years. And then some people have leaned in more to experiential stuff, and then it's going to take them 5 years or maybe 4.5. And so we're at the 4-year mark of our college right now, and we're both going to be in Boston in school for one more year.
I've done 2.5 years of total school.
Yeah, and so
been 4 years. And I'm going to graduate at 5 years, and I will have done, like, 3 years total of school.
Of actual school.
Of actual going to classes, which is hilarious. So, everyone's like, oh, it took you 5 years to graduate? No, actually, they did 1 year less than you, but I took time off in the middle because I was having fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so right now, it's a really interesting thing where about half of our friends are finishing school and graduating, and about half of us still have a year left and are going to be here in Boston next year as well. But it's just this strange feeling of, like, regardless of if you're graduating or not, it feels like things are changing because a lot of people are leaving. We, like, a couple friends are, they're getting into med school, they're getting into grad school, they have jobs in San Francisco and LA and New York City, and, like, people are getting ready to leave and go, and it's just this, it just becomes kind of this weird feeling of, like, no matter what, things are changing, whether I'm here or not, because things are changing for people around me. I also think just because of the format of the school that we have been in, where we've talked about how it's so flexible and how we've taken time off to travel, we've taken time off of school to do internships, I always feel like every 6 months is a transitional period, which I think is, it's maybe pretty normal in your 20s to feel like you're having so many transitional periods, whether it's like a new year of school, a new job for the summer, you're moving somewhere new. But it also is a strange feeling when, like, every 6 months I feel like I'm starting a new phase of my life, because every 6 months there's some different scenario.
But also for us, we haven't done a full year of school. This is what it is. We haven't done a full year of school since our freshman year of college, which means we'll do like 3 months of school and then 6 months of work, and then it's summer, and then we do 3 months of school, and then six. So it's very different life phases. It's not just like, oh, fall semester and then spring semester, because that's school. Like, it's so vastly different, the, like, 3 month phases that we've been going through. It just kind of messes with your head because you have zero consistency. And I know people can understand this in different ways. You know, it's not just like school. Maybe it's whatever job you're working or the habits that you have going on in your life. But the inconsistency of, like, really, really long-term stuff will mess with your head if you're completely changing, like, what you do every day.
Yeah. Well, I think that it is relatable in different ways for a lot of people, because even if you are in school, it's, you know, every semester is new. It's new professors, new classes, new people, new routines, new time slots for your classes. It might even be that you're picking up a minor or you're changing your major. Like, we have friends who have changed their majors in their last year of college. Like, no matter where you go, you're always having these new changes. And then if you're newly post-grad, that's a huge transition of your life, and one where you're seeing, oh my God, so many people doing all different things around you, whether they're going to grad school, whether they're getting a job, whether they can't find a job, because it's also a really tough time in the job market right now, where, like, I'm seeing so many friends who are, like, so smart and so qualified struggle to find a job. And how can that not make you feel bad about yourself? I mean, I even was 3 interviews deep in getting an internship for next semester, and I got turned down, and I thought I was, like, perfect for the position. And I'm like, damn, it's really tough out here, because it sucks to get turned down no matter what. And so, you know, whether you're feeling that way and, like, you know, struggling to find a job that feels like the right fit for you when you see your other friends in good positions, or, you know, whether you're trying to get into a grad school but your other friends seem like, oh, they're moving to a new city and getting a new job, whether people are even, like, deep in relationships and feeling like they're going to get married and things like that, if you're a little bit later in your 20s depending on, you know, different cultures or different states that you live in. I think
I explained to someone Ring by Spring.
That's kind of like, that's like a Southern kind of thing, right?
Yeah, which that'd be insane if we had that up here.
That's daunting. Yeah, so I think your 20s in particular are a time where it's so important to remind yourself that you're on your own journey, because there are so many transitional phases. There are so many different paths you can take. There are people, you know, on endless routes around you. And not to say that that's not true for the entirety of your life, but like, I read something recently that said when you turn 20, it's almost like you're turning zero again. Because that's when you're like, okay, now I'm expected to actually figure out my life path, to actually like really get serious and start doing things. You're almost like a baby again. Like it's kind of scary in a way, because you've always been so supported. And not to say that you're like, you know, not supported once you're in your 20s. Hopefully you do have a good support system of family and friends and things like that around you. But like, you are now very responsible for your life and figuring it out. And that's scary, because there's a lot of different directions to go. And there's also like a lot of risk, a lot of opportunity for failure, but not really failure, more so pivoting, because I don't think anything in your 20s is necessarily failure. I just think that it's a time where more than anything else, there are so many different directions that life can take. And it's also not all in your hands. You know, you're not 40 years old with your family sorted out, with your career sorted out in like a stable home and all of that. There's definitely like a lot up in the air, a lot to be questioned. And that can be very overwhelming sometimes. And so I have found myself personally these past couple months having to kind of remind myself that I'm on my own journey, no matter what that is. Because, you know, seeing other people graduate around me, and like, one of our friends has a full-time job at SpaceX and he's gonna go move out to LA and work at SpaceX. Like, how can you not see things like that and be like, whoa, like, what am I doing?
If you walked into SpaceX right now and they had you do something, you could...
I would crumble.
You'd be like,
huh?
I didn't do this much math.
But then at the same time, we have another good friend who, like we were saying, like, so qualified, who's been applying to, like, 100 different jobs and can't find something. And that's a bit scary to watch as well. Like, oh, what's going to happen to they me when I'm trying to figure it out?
The other day, after, like, 3 weeks of interviews, they literally told him, we rated you really highly, like the top candidate, but we're actually not going to go with you. And I was texting him after, and he was like, I swear to God, I thought they were hidden cameras. I almost started laughing. I was like, is this real? There's no way this is happening. He was like, yeah. They literally told me I was the top candidate.
Yeah.
And well, then said, we're not going to go with you.
That's like almost what happened to me as well. I interviewed with 3 different people. They had me on the line for a month for this position. And then I hadn't heard back in weeks. I had to write and say, what's the status? And then they said, sorry, while all the feedback was positive, it was just really competitive this year and we went a different direction. And then I asked, like, okay, understood. Could I have some feedback so that I know maybe where I fell short, where I can, like, improve for the future? No response. Crickets. They won't even give me that. But that... it has been kind of an interesting journey for me, because in my particular status in school, I have 1 semester of classes left to do. I don't want to graduate in the middle of the year, because, you know, I have some friends graduating now. I have a lot that are sticking around for 5 years. I don't want to be on my own just randomly graduating in the middle here. Like, I really would appreciate, you know, rounding out the 5 years and being able to finish with my friends. So I'm looking at what are the opportunities that I can take on in the fall semester, take another semester off of school, pursue some opportunities, you know, try some different things out, and then come back and finish in the spring so that I can graduate and finish with all my friends. And that uncertainty is, it's a little bit daunting to me right now, because I've always lived my life, like, trying to trust that things are going to work out and that if I keep myself open to all opportunities, something will come. However, I do feel like I'm hitting a good amount of dead ends these days. Like, more than ever. And so it's been
my
hard
life
to,
is in shambles.
It's been hard to continue to kind of trust that, you know, I'm trusting the timing, I'm trusting that, you know, better things are coming, it's going to work out, I'm on my own journey, because, you know, I've been down a couple different paths of, like, how I'm going to fill my fall, pursuing a couple different job opportunities, you know, looking at different places. Am I going to stay in Boston? Am I going to go somewhere else? And I do feel like I'm kind of hitting some dead ends, and so it's been a bit strange, even for me, to figure out what I'm doing with this next year of my life. And it's just putting me in a place of, like, having to consistently remind myself, I'm on my own journey, life is gonna work out, I'm 21 years old, I have so much good stuff going for me, like, I just have to trust that, like, if a door closes, it's closing for a reason. But that's always hard to actually believe in the moment, before you're on the other side of it when something better happens. Because how many times have you been disappointed in something in your life And then you see down the line, like, oh my God, thank God that didn't happen. Thank God I wasn't trapped in that job, in that city, in that relationship, in whatever I thought that I wanted at that time, and I was so upset that it didn't work out or that I got turned down. But now, 6 months, a year, 2 years later, seeing how my life has gone, thank God that didn't happen because something so much better came along. However, in the moment, when you're unsure of what those things are that might come along, it's kind of uncomfortable.
My life is in shambles, 25.
And Catherine is definitely feeling the shambles and the pressure recently.
Our next episode is gonna be flop era, because I'm in a flop era. I've had the absolute worst past 3 months. I've done legitimately nothing except for work and school. My life is in shambles. Our apartment's gross. I literally haven't cooked in so long. I haven't showered here this entire semester. I shower at the gym every single day. I refuse to shower here because it was dirty when we got here. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to clean someone else's shower juices. Like, it's disgusting. And so I just shower at the gym happily, though, because it's a really nice shower. And I steam room before that. And you know what? If I'm paying for the gym, like, I'm going to go use it. So, I also haven't cooked here, and I don't use the living, like, I just, like, don't use anything in here besides, like, my room to sleep, but also literally don't do anything. So I've been refuting cleaning, and it's disgusting in here, but I deep cleaned yesterday. I literally had a mental breakdown and deep cleaned. I also have nowhere to live.
I know when Catherine's really, really going through it, when she pulls out the rubber gloves, buckles in with her headphones, and you, like, can't reach her for hours.
I'm not touching anything.
Because she's deep cleaning.
I was using rubber gloves because it's literally disgusting. It's not, like...
I'm like, oh, shit.
And then she had the audacity to bring friends over while I had rubber gloves on. I'm literally sobbing because I was like, I can't handle this right now. And then I had to, like, entertain.
Well,
like, please leave.
I was going to the park with a couple of friends because it was such a nice sunny day and we were going to go sit and read and just, you know, try to enjoy it. And I was like, Catherine, please come. Like, it'd be so good for you.
I literally didn't have the time.
I have to clean. So I let my friends come in because they wanted to, like, see her and talk to her because they hadn't seen her in a while. And I was like, okay, I hope this will go well. And we walk into Catherine, like, rubber gloves on, headphones on, like, you know, tear stains on her face. I just thought it would be a nice thing. You know, your friends wanted to be supportive for a second and just say hi.
I'm also homeless next year. Because I need to live alone, but also Boston rent is so bad. It's, like, so dumb expensive for the stupidest little apartment. And also, all lease terms are September to September. Like, it's 12 months, and if you do anything less than 12 months, it's, like, triple the price. But I'm not going to be here. Like, I barely am going to school next year because I have one semester, and then the second semester I literally have one online class, essentially.
Yeah. So you don't want to buckle down for a whole year, at least if you're not sure how that's
going to go. No. And I don't know. It's just so difficile.
Difficile.
And I don't want to burn my money on some... Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. Anyway, my life's in shambles 25. One of our friends was studying abroad somewhere, and literally no one had heard from him in weeks. And we're like, what is going on? Turns out he, like, lost his phone, so he was just going off of a couple weeks, and then his burner phone.
But he couldn't pay for it. He didn't have enough money
on it
to his name. He could barely pay rent.
He just started. It's funny because he's all good now, but we were like, where is this kid?
Where is he? It was like one of our best friends was studying abroad in Madrid for, like, 6 months. No one had really heard from him.
And then he made his, like, he had to make a new email to get a new phone or something crazy. And he made the email password, or the name to the email was, like, my life is in shambles 25 or something like that.
So when Catherine keeps referencing my life is in shambles 25, you know, that's just it's a go-to for, like, I feel like shit could not be worse right now.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages. Maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and, like, matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages,
forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
I keep texting him that, and he's like, oh, dog, what's up? Like, what's happening?
I will say, though, you know, when you feel like your life is in shambles, 25, there are always things that could be worse. And that's maybe not
It definitely could be much worse, like, but at the end of the day, also, like, given my current circumstance, I don't think it could get much worse than this shit.
Yeah. So I started reading a book yesterday, The Psychology of Money. And, you know, it's not very relevant, the psychology of money, to this episode. However, I'm only 2 chapters into it, and so they were just talking about kind of, like, human nature and things like that. And there's one message that I thought was really interesting, and I think that there's a way that it could be applied to this, so I'm going to share it with you guys. And they said that if you accept the role of luck, you also have to accept the role of risk. Like, those things have to be true. You cannot accept one without the other. And basically, the premise of that was, like, if you believe that if the odds are 1 in 100, if you are to believe, like, okay, yeah, I have a 1% chance that this could happen to me, then that means that you also have to accept the fact
99% risk.
That means that you also have to accept the fact that if you go into a situation and it's like, oh, this is 99% effective, well, you also have to believe that 1% could be true when it's a negative as well, you know? It, like, if you're believing, like, oh, I could be the 1% to get into this college, to win this thing, to achieve this, then you also have to be accepting of the fact that, like, hey, if there's a 99% chance of something, you also have to believe that 1% could happen, because it can't just go one way. And that scenario, I just thought that was an interesting thought. That's not necessarily, like, relevant to this episode and what we're talking about right now. But I do like the idea that there are a lot of things in life that cannot be true without also accepting that something else has to be true too. And so when I think about it in this situation, I'm thinking a lot about, like, change, because we're talking about life changes going on, reflecting on, you know, life paths, what's going to happen next, the uncertainty of what's going to happen next. And it's easy in those situations to think towards the negative, that if you don't know what's going to happen, then therefore it's going to be bad. You're in a bad position. You don't know what's happening. It's going to be negative. However, there's an equal likelihood that something is coming along and is going to be positive and great. And one of those can't be true.
Not equal if it's 99-1.
But one of those can't be true without the other being true. When there's uncertainty in your life, a lot of the time we take uncertainty and we immediately assume the negative. Or maybe we're predisposed to think towards the negative. Maybe it's the safer way to think. But when there's uncertainty, there's always also a chance of positive. And one of those things can't be true without another. You cannot be uncertain about something and have the outcome 100% be positive or 100% be negative, because in that case, you would be certain about it. So when it comes to life changes, when it comes to not being sure about what's happening in your life, what's coming next, have an open mind to understand that, like, you know, just as much as you might be scared, and maybe that mindset encourages you to have a more positive outlook on what could be happening, to be more open to taking risks, because it could go either way, and to be more likely to, you know, bet on yourself and on your ability for things to work out in your life, because there is also a truth that in life, there are waves. Things are going to go down sometimes, inevitably, but things are also going to come up. Like, waves of life in this natural evolution, like, it's so normal and it's unavoidable in life. So I would also say that if you're accepting that there are some dips in your life, and maybe that's right now, maybe that's how you're feeling, maybe you've experienced that before, you know, you're also accepting of the fact that there are going to be highs in your life too, because one cannot exist without the other. You cannot have a low without having a baseline of a high to come to. You cannot have a high without having a baseline of a low that you're coming from. So when you're struggling with a certain situation or a certain period of your life that just feels like everything is going wrong and you can't get out of it, remember that you're on your own journey and that those lows cannot exist without highs, and that the highs that you have experienced and will continue to experience in your life cannot exist without you having this low right now too, to understand how you don't want to feel, to understand what you want to move past, and to be appreciative of the high when it does come in your life, because good things will always come back, even if right now feels uncertain or confusing or like you're not in the place that you want to be. Speaking of being not in the place that you want to be, something that I definitely struggle with is feeling like there's always something that is falling behind, because in life there are a million things that we're trying to juggle at once. No matter what it is that you do, no matter where you're at in life, there are so many expectations on us. Whether it is managing, like, your job and finances and how you're going to support yourself, whether it is managing the friendships and the relationships in your life and trying to build new friendships and maintain the relationships and make sure you're giving the people that you love the attention that they deserve and all of that. And then whether it's also, you know, your relationship with yourself, giving yourself the love and the time that you deserve, being healthy and building healthy habits. Then there's all these extras that you could go off of, keeping up with a hobby, keeping up with your skills, thinking about your future, making plans. Like, there are 100 moving parts in our lives at one time. That is an overwhelming thing to think about, because it is impossible for you to be working on every single one of those things at the same time. And there can be a lot of pressure to always be improving everything at the same time. Or there can be a lot of comparison when you're focusing on one aspect of your life to not think about how you're letting something else slip. Hey, I am doing so well in school right now and I'm so focused on my studies, but these other people seem like they're having so much more fun and being so much more social, and that aspect of my life is not happening right now. I feel like I'm falling behind and I'm doing the wrong thing. Or, you know, I feel so good about my friendships right now. I'm having so much fun. But I don't feel like I'm giving myself as much time as I should be. And I feel like I'm falling behind in that aspect. Or maybe I'm not in as much of a grind mode as I used to be. Or maybe I'm not looking ahead to my future quite as much because I'm living in the moment. Because there's also so many contradicting things in life of like, hey, I need to live more in the moment. But also, you know, I need to plan ahead for my future. I need to spend time with myself, but I also need to maintain good friendships and relationships. I need to work hard, but I also need to, you know, relax and reset. There are so many contradicting expectations in the world that it's like, how are you ever supposed to just be content with where you are and what you're doing? Because if you're being social, maybe you're not spending enough time on yourself. If you're working hard, maybe you're not playing enough. If you're playing hard, maybe you feel like you're not working enough, right? Finding that balance in life, it is near impossible to have the perfect balance of everything at all times. And so I guess my point is, how do we all take on the mindset that, like, what I'm doing right now, if it feels good to me in some way, if it feels like it has some sort of balance, even if not everything is perfect, how am I going to be, like, content with that and not always feel like something's falling behind? How do I focus on the things that I'm doing well on in life and that I'm putting my focus on in life, rather than thinking about the things that are falling behind? That's something that I that's definitely something that I struggle with sometimes, and something that has been kind of tough for me this semester of school, because I hadn't been in school for the past entire year before coming back to the semester.
Oh my god, it was so weird.
It was so weird.
I have to ask my friends constantly, like, it's so embarrassing to send in the big group. I was like, how do you find your student ID number? Like, where do you find that? Or I don't know when class registration is. Somehow we just never know that.
I don't think they're very good at publicizing it.
No,
they aren't. I have an advisor, and I'm like, the one thing you should tell me is when to register for classes.
But I also had to ask how to print the other day. I was like, where are printers at the school? And I was printing something for my friend who's graduated, because he obviously doesn't have access to the printers anymore. And I was like, yeah, of course I can print this thing for you. And then I had to go text other people and be like, how do I print?
How do I print?
Like, I do not go to this school.
It was a bit nerve-wracking for me to take on school again when that's not something that had been in the balance of my life for a year. Not that I hadn't been using my brain or doing other things, because for an 8-month period, I was working full-time for another company on an internship. And then for like a 4-month period, and Catherine and I were traveling a bunch and we were letting ourselves work on the podcast full-time. So coming back to school and, you know, taking on what it means to be, like, you know, a senior in college and taking 4 classes is something that I hadn't experienced in a while. And I feel that while I'm so happy with how I did in school and how committed I was to it and how honestly, like, stress-free I was in doing well in school, like, I think that I really took this semester on in a way where I was, like, you know, getting things done ahead of time. I wasn't spending that many late nights on work. Like, I had no mental breakdowns over school. I had no super stressful moments, which was a huge goal for me. And so, like, I'm so happy with myself for how I managed that. But now that it's coming to an end, and I'm reflecting on also the past 3 months and how things are going, there's so many things that I feel like I fell behind on, particularly putting as much effort and passion as I would like to into my work on social media and into the podcast. And when something happens like that, where for, like, a certain period of time, like this 3 months, you don't think you've done a good enough job, it can be hard mentally to wrap your head around, okay, well, that is a fact that happened. Like, I can't change how I acted the past 3 months when it comes to social media, the podcast, mm-hmm. whatever else I'm thinking of.
And honestly, we didn't have much control, because even, obviously, we didn't want to, like, let this be a lower priority, but other things had to take priority, yeah. and we couldn't really change that. So even if we wanted to put our 100% effort, like, by the end of the day, I was gassed. There was no time to put, like, the yeah. full amount of effort that we want to into the podcast and this work. I was going to school, working, had the podcast, and then was supposed to go to the gym and supposed to be social and supposed to, like, leave my house.
Yeah.
Not all of that happened.
Right. And so I guess what I kind of struggle with is, after something like that happens where, hey, I don't feel like I put as much passion and work into this as I would have loved to, as I wish I could, and also I'm not seeing the results that I want to see from it, because obviously if I'm not putting that work in, I'm not growing these passions and these businesses and these creative pursuits in any way. How do I not beat myself up for, like, what has been done? Because I know that it had to go that way for me to be able to do well in school, for me to be able to be stress-free and have a clear mind. And those things were such a big priority for me. But how do I now move forward without trying to, like, overcompensate for everything that I missed? Or without, honestly, like, giving up based on the fact that I don't think I did that well of a job the past 3 months. And for me, that's just been looking at the grand scheme of everything. Social media, this podcast, is something I've been doing for 2-3+ years. If I have had this 3 or 4 month period where I haven't given it my best, that's okay. Because there are also periods where I haven't given fitness my best. There's been a whole year where I didn't even go to school, right? And I'm not beating myself up over that. I just got back into it. And that is the perspective that I'm trying to take on with this, because otherwise I honestly think that I would crumble and I would not be okay. And I want to protect my own peace and my mental health more than anything. And so rather than looking at, like, this slipped through the cracks of the balance of my life these past few months and looking at that as a failure, I'm going to look at, okay, well, now I don't have school anymore taking up all of this time. So now I can reprioritize this. What am I going to do to move forward rather than looking back and being upset about that? If there's something in your life, whether it is your relationships, whether it is your own personal health and fitness and routines that you feel like has kind of been put to the wayside this winter, this year so far, anything like that. Instead of looking back at it and beating yourself up for what you have missed, just look forward. What can you do now? Because that is the only thing that's going to be beneficial for you. It's not beneficial to look back. You know how you feel about this. You know that you don't feel that good, that this hasn't been something that you're doing. But if you look back and say, well, I've let 3 months slip, so how can I even get back? Well, then you're never going to do it. And then it's going to become 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. Then all of a sudden, it's not something you even do anymore. Rather than whether it's, you know, working out, seeing friends, you know, whatever habit or routine you want to pick back up, just do it and restart it. And that's it. Clean slate, day one, recommit, rather than looking back and like beating yourself up. And I know this was a pretty long tangent, but I think that's something that I need to hear for myself, because every period of transition in my own life journey, I think, is equally exciting and intimidating, because it makes me reflective about what I have been doing. And there are always things that I'm happy about, but there's always things that I'm unhappy about and that I want to do better moving forward. And while that's exciting, it's also daunting, because sometimes we feel the need to play catch up, and sometimes we feel more bad about what we've missed than the excitement and the positivity of being able to recommit to it and move forward with it. And so that is another thing that I've been having to remind myself on this topic of like being on my own journey, that you're on your own journey when it comes to every single aspect of your life. And as much as you might look at another person and think like, oh, they have a future plan to go do this job, their career is so great, their relationship is so stable, all of these things, I guarantee you that not every single thing is perfect in their lives, because it is impossible to have a perfect balance at all times in your life. You just don't see every single thing that could be on their plate, and you don't see what they're missing. Just like somebody doesn't see what you're missing, they just see what you're doing. You're the only person who sees where you think you're falling behind.
Or they also like don't know what you're doing other than the things that you do with them or share with them. Like, as much as I love and respect and care about my friends, like, I literally don't know what they do on a day-to-day basis every single day, which is normal. So you can't expect them to know exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis. Like, I know that our friend that's going to work at SpaceX is really smart, and I know that he's going to work at SpaceX. I don't know one singular thing that he does on a day-to-day basis for that, or, like, I don't know his job title. I don't know, because that's literally not my area of expertise. But
also, you don't know how he's done in classes this year. You don't know how he's done balancing classes with his own mental health and things like that, right? You don't know that.
Yeah.
You see the outward stuff.
Right. But he also doesn't know the same thing. Like, they all know we have a podcast, and they all know that it's, like, a thing. But no one knows the time and effort we put into this. No one knows our connections with you guys. No one knows, like, the analytics on the back end. No one knows the, like, planning and prep that goes into it.
No one knows when we have a good week or a bad week with
it. So true.
They don't know that. I don't even know that anymore, because I just try not to look, because it'll hurt me.
Yeah. But it's just really interesting to kind of put that into perspective, because if you're maybe frustrated with feeling like no one is acknowledging the ways that you're feeling, or the, like, if you're having a tough time, if your life is in shambles 25, like, no one knows that.
Right.
No one knows that unless they walk into you sobbing in your house with rubber gloves on, cleaning the whole thing top to bottom. Machine Gun Kelly in the headphones. Machine Gun Kelly and, like, the lo-fi, someone that does lo-fi stuff. This is so long ago, but he has, like, an album of lo-fi, a lo-fi version of his album. Such good study music, because it's, like, drunk face, but lo-fi.
Oh, cool. That also, what you said made me think about how even if people do know that you're handling something or that you're struggling with something, they know it, but they don't know your day-to-day struggle. They don't know the day-to-day. They're not thinking about it as a priority. Like, I'm thinking about our friend who tore her ACL, like, 4 months ago. It was a really big deal at first, like, the support we were trying to give her. But now it's more so, like, you know, a quick verbal check-in every time you see them.
Right.
But I don't know how she's managing it physically and mentally every day of her life. Because it's impossible to, you know, spread yourself to understand the ins and outs of every single person's lives and wins and losses and struggles and ways that they're doing well.
So people aren't required to see that in you, because that's just not how the world works. Like, you can share as much as you want to and hope that people, like, respect and support you. And the people who are supposed to respect and support you will. But at a certain point, it's just, like, not their shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that you can look at that in a positive way, where, like, if you feel like you're having a week or a month where you're, like, absolutely crumbling and you're doing so poorly, that is a blip in the system to anyone else who you think is perceiving it. Because they have so many things of their own that they're dealing with, and they have so many people that they're, you know, following up, you know, that they're following and checking in on and stuff, that, like, don't feel the pressure of how other people are perceiving you, and let that add more to whatever uncertainty you are feeling in yourself.
So I guess the point of this episode, this conversation, is just to reiterate that everyone has things that they're going through, things that they're dealing with, and it doesn't even have to be a negative thing. Like, everyone just has so many different layers of their life, and you share with different people what you're able to relate on or what it makes sense to share. But everyone is their own person, and everyone is doing their own thing, and that is kind of supposed to be very different than yours. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to get discouraged or overthink or start comparing to what everyone else is doing, because you're doing your own thing, and that's the good thing.
Mm. And whatever journey you're on, and whatever period of life you're in, whether that is a transitional period, whether that's a very secure, stable period, whether it's a period of uncertainty and not knowing what's happening next, that is your own journey and a part of your own life. And don't let a comparison with other people's journeys get you down about that. Because we are all on our own paths. There's a certain level of trust that we have to have in the universe and in ourselves to just believe that things are going to work out, and that one day we'll be able to look back and look at, you know, the whole life path and be really appreciative of the times where we didn't know how everything was going to work out, or that everything was going to work out. But I promise you, to everybody listening, and also to myself, that it will. Thank you guys so much for listening to us, for being a part of our journey, for letting us be a part of yours and your lives. We seriously appreciate you. For everyone new, for everyone who has been coming back week after week for a couple years now, so much more than we could ever express in words. We love you, and we will see you next Monday. Bye. Bye.